blame it on the rain. Okay. PUTEMUPDEUX.
So I got to give a little explanation to anybody that's out there wondering what's up with our podcast and what we're doing. The truth is, Will's in Seattle now doing a new job. You just got a promotion, correct?
Yep.
Taking on a lot more responsibility. Still trying to get your spot together. To be real, guys, I'm so old school. I hate online things. I hate doing Zoom calls. I hate FaceTiming. I like everything in person. So the fact that the show isn't in person, I feel like it loses what it has. And I don't want to diminish, you know, our thing. So we're trying to work it out. We may keep doing it online once Will is set and established out in Seattle. But for now, we're just going to do it whenever he's in town and just have some fun with it.
Yeah, and I think it'll improve once I have a creative space, a better internet connection. It'll still be different, obviously, but I think it's doable. So we'll see how it goes. We're going to give it a test run when I get my place, mm-hmm. have better internet, be in a better place where I'm not up in the mountains. So everything's a little bit delayed for you guys that listen to it, and maybe you don't notice. I've heard a lot of people are like, oh, I don't notice a difference. I still enjoy it, but
I
notice it when I'm doing it. Like, we interrupt each other, but not on purpose. It's because there's a little delay. So it throws the timing of everything off. So I'm hoping when I get to a better place where I have better internet, it'll change all that.
Yeah.
But we promised a song, and I just want you to, you know, harmonize in the background while I sing. Because, we're going to go, this is nine, damn, you're fine. Sucky, sucky, sucky to me, baby, one more time. From the window to the wall. Till the sweat drop down my balls. All these bitches crawl. Oh, skeet, skeet, motherfucker.
Skeet, skeet, now.
Oh, skeet, skeet, goddamn.
Skeet, skeet, goddamn.
Oh, skeet, skeet, motherfucker. Oh, skeet, skeet, goddamn. Damn. All right, take this fucking mask off my head, please. I'm dying here. Oh, God. Oh, thank you.
Oh, damn.
I know my hair looks a mess. I don't give a fuck.
Nah, it looks dope. That was amazing because I had no idea what song you were singing. That was awesome. You like that one, Pop? Good. I'll teach it to you later when you're a little older, okay?
Bro.
No slamming because look at Uncle Mark's face.
Sorry, Mark. Love you. Smoochie. We got so much to talk about.
Look, there's been so much going on in boxing, man. Will, I had to write it all down, thank God, because my memory is shot with a lot of this stuff. I'm so excited. Please.
So we got to talk about Teo first.
Oh.
Oh, what a fight, man. What a fight, what a fight, what a fight.
So we haven't discussed this on purpose, and like, I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Please.
So, first of all, shout out to George Kambosos.
Fight of his life.
Anybody that listened to the podcast before, we both said he ain't afraid. He's going to bring the fight. We thought Teo would stop him late. I think we might have predicted, or we might have predicted by decision.
I did think he had no chance.
Yeah. I didn't expect him to win, but I kept saying he's the main sparring partner of Manny Pacquiao. He's done over 200 rounds with Manny Pacquiao. I also said he's an explosive counterpuncher, which came into play in that first round with that overhand right that he landed, or it was a straight right, I think. I can't remember now. But it was just a great fight. The timing of Kambosos was phenomenal.
Crazy.
I don't want to pile on Teo because, obviously, his strategy was bad.
Yeah.
He came out in the first round and was throwing punches like an amateur. He wasn't setting anything up. Mm. Everything was a wind-up. Mm. Everything was a power shot.
His face got there before his hands. Like,
yeah.
You know, if that makes sense to anybody. So, like, a boxer's supposed to punch like this. Street fighters fight like this.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they always do.
It was really weird. I feel like he underestimated him at the end of the day. And I don't want to take anything away from Kambosos at all because that was a great performance. He showed a lot of grit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the fact that people piled on Teo so hard because they obviously forgot about what happened in the 10th round, where Teo came within 2 seconds of stopping Kambosos. Mm-hmm. You have to give him credit for that. Regardless of how you feel about Teo personally, he came back strong in that 10th round and almost got the job done in a night that clearly wasn't his night.
Mm-hmm.
Kambosos survived it. The most shocking thing to me were those 11th and 12th rounds, where Kambosos found yet another gear after almost being stopped to win those two rounds, because that won the fight.
Yep.
It was pretty much even Steven after that 10th round. because they kind of were exchanging rounds back and forth. I thought, or well, it was more so like George will win two rounds and Tail will win two rounds.
Mm-hmm. And then people would win half rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't know who was winning.
So it was a very nip and tuck affair. Yeah. Especially after that 10th, I was like, wow, this shit's up for grabs. Yeah. And George just got hurt really bad. Everything's looking like it's in Tail's favor. And what did he do? He came out and he said, I'm Greek. I'm going to go out on my shield.
Damn right.
And he got on that jab and he was busting Tail up those 11th and 12th rounds. It was shocking. What are your thoughts?
I mean, everything that you said, I completely agree with. And again, not to pile on Tao because we're fans of Tao. I'm excited for his future. I wonder what his future is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, look, he's still a young man, and it happens to everybody, man. Look, you beat, quote-unquote, the best fighter in the world in Lomachenko.
Mm-hmm.
You get all the belts. You're unified. You're young. You did it, not, I don't want to say easy, but fairly easy. Like, you came out of the Lomachenko fight fairly unscathed. Dude, you start believing all the hype. You're Ring Magazine Fighter of the Year two times in a row, which has that ever happened before? I think it happened once before, but...
Yeah, and Ring Magazine now is kind of a little tainted because De La Hoya owns it, so it's a little...
Right, so you can't take it for what it is or what it used to be. And you start believing your hype, and then, you know, real life starts happening. A wife, a kid, you're building a new house, family issues, people wanting to come with money. And it just, it becomes a lot of different things. So you get away from what got you to that status in the first place, which was boxing.
Right.
So real life comes into play and it gets hard to focus on boxing, man. And then when you factor in, I'm sorry, but I know his dad did a lot to get him to where he is.
Oh my God.
But in the corner, when you're telling him, he was telling him, like, keep going, right? You're going to knock him out.
I wrote it down at the house because I thought we were going to do it, you know, right after the fight. But I wrote down what he said after the first round. He said, I don't have the exact quote, but he said, it's okay, take your time out there. And then, 5 seconds later, he said, what are you doing? Get him out of here. Look, I don't know what happened in that training camp. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's a good trainer. From what I've seen, his advice was terrible. Like, that's conflicting advice. You're telling him to slow down, but get him out of here. Yes, you're giving conflicting advice. Tao's obviously rattled. He thought he was going to get the guy out of there. Mm-hmm. He set the precedent before the fight. I'm going to take him out within one round or two rounds, which to me was real disrespectful. George Kambosos is undefeated. He wouldn't have sparred Manny Pacquiao for 200 rounds if Manny wasn't getting good work out of it. He obviously has a lot of skill. You're going to get him out in one or two rounds, and he fought like it at the beginning of the fight. Now, what I want to discuss a little bit, and I don't want to sound like this is an excuse for Tao, but he had a lot going on. I read an article where his wife and him split before the fight, right after the birth of his child. His dad, God damn it, giving these drunken interviews. His dad was doing a meet and greet an hour before the fight, instead of having pad work, instead of game planning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of things working against Tao. The hype train was so strong.
Yep.
Then the after fight interview, and I thought about you when the fight interview was going on, because you always say some fighters shouldn't be interviewed right after the fight. And Tao saying he won 11 rounds to 2, which I don't know if you guys do math, but 11 plus 2 is 13. There's no 13-round fights, so I don't know what the fuck he was talking about.
And look, we have to reiterate, we love Tao. We're not making fun. We're just calling it what it is, man. It was a bad day at the office, man.
It was a bad day at the office. I think he was a little shocked that he lost, and so he lashed out. I really didn't like the lack of sportsmanship, though.
Yeah.
George Kambosos was talking. Tao interrupted him, talked about how he got robbed, criticized the network, which I'm like, why are you criticizing DAZN? They weren't the ones that originally bought the fight.
Yeah.
They did you a favor by staging the fight, and they didn't lose a fight for you. You lost.
Yeah.
Then he said even the referee knew I won the fight, which referees don't score the fight. Like,
no, and like he raised my hand like, look, it's an honest mistake. That doesn't mean anything.
It was just weird. Then George finally gets his time to do the interview, and Tao's in the background doing backflips.
It's just dumb,
man. It was just a bad night at the office, and I feel bad as a Tao fan, but I can't defend that kind of behavior, man. You got to give that man his props.
Yeah.
That Greek soldier went in there, gave his best effort, survived your best shot in the 10th round, still stood toe-to-toe with you and fought you. You got to respect him afterwards. Like,
Tao, I hope you either a year from now, a month from now, or whenever, past that fight, that you look back on this and realize what actually happened and just take it on the chin and move on. because people respect it so much more when you're like, yeah, he was the better man that night, but I want a rematch. I want to fight. Yeah. And you guys didn't even want a rematch.
Yeah.
I know it's getting hard for you to make that weight. I know you want to move up, but there's just so much things that you could have handled betterly. And that's just my opinion, man. You could take it for what it's worth. And I want to piggyback on what you said about being a professional. What a lot of people out there don't understand is being a professional, either in the entertainment industry or in the in athletics, it's hard because you're not allowed a bad day. Yeah. You're not allowed to deal with like family issues. If you're working at an office, everybody knows when, like, hey, they're going through a divorce. Hey, they're going through such and such.
Yeah.
So they give them a little leeway. In boxing, the NFL, NBA, whatever, they don't care. It's like, come out and play. Come out and entertain me. And if you don't, F you. If you don't, I don't care. Go back and do it again. If you don't, cut them. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's not fair. It's not right. But that's why you get paid what you get paid. Because you're a professional and people expect you to come and perform no matter what's going on in your life. So when people say, oh, hey, they shouldn't be making this much money. Absolutely, they fucking should. Because they're not allowed to have bad days. And that's why. All that being said, man, you made a lot. I feel like you made a lot of mistakes. I am excited about what may come for your future, but I'm also a little nervous. And I told Mark this yesterday. I saw somebody on Instagram post a picture of Dale saying, well, if he moves up to the 140, and then they had pictures all around of the fighters at 140. And boy, I was very nervous with Dale.
Yeah.
I am not excited. And look, I know he has the skill to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Will his power translate? I think it may, but I don't know if he has any skill now besides his natural ability. I feel like his dad worked on his natural ability as a boxer and did a great thing there.
Mm-hmm.
But you need technique. You need to be able to, you know, peekaboo guard, low guard, shoulder. You need to be able to mix it up and have actual skill in these different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Switch stance. I don't know. You got to do something because middle of that fight when against Kambosos when nothing was working and your dad's telling you, just you're going to fuck him up. Keep fucking him up.
That's
not helping.
It was kind of a one-note fight. And I want to make a point about what you said about the pay. People need to fucking realize the people that are in the positions of power in these sports, in the entertainment industry, are not going to pay these people the money they pay them if they're not making 10 times that.
Yeah.
So when people say, oh, athletes make too much money, well, rest assured, the people that own this stuff are making a killing too. And they wouldn't pay them that if they weren't still seeing a strong revenue as well. Yeah. So I hate that whole argument of like, oh, these athletes making $20 million. Well, because the revenue is there.
Yep.
Like, of course they're going to make that if the revenue's there.
You hate seeing minorities make this much money. And you hate seeing them talk about it.
Yeah, so as far as Tao at 140, I think he has the skill to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get back to his jab. He's got to get back to that jab to the body. He's got to be more cerebral with it again, like he was against Lomachenko, like he was against Magdaleno, like he was against Comey. I think he has the skill to do it. Can he do it? It's a tough road. Look,
it is.
I don't want to tell a man to fire his father. I never want to do that.
Right.
But I do think if you're going to keep your dad around, you got to bring in another guy to help. You got to bring in a guy that's more skill-based, that's more strategy-based, that's less about the motivational side of it, and that's more about the X's and O's of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Teo's dad's a good motivator.
Yeah.
I think he can motivate him to do what he needs to do, but you got to pair that with a strategist, right?
Yeah.
He's not a strategist.
Is there anybody else on their team? Does he have a strength and conditioning?
He used to have a coach named Joey Gamache who used to be a pro boxer, but they got rid of him.
See?
And
it
showed in that fight to me.
You get to that place and you start thinking, and look, this happens with rappers too. Like, let's say everybody who came up with Dre, minus like Kendrick Lamar, who could do anything.
Yeah.
But like, everybody comes up with Dre, and then once they stop working with him because they think, oh, I'm a superstar, I can do this on myself, and I could pocket all this money, what happens to their careers?
Bye-bye. Night-night.
You didn't make it on your own. You were produced by a great producer who cleaned up every track, and you were promoted by this amazing producer, and you had your name attached to him, so that's how you made it.
Right.
As an actor, I've seen many mediocre actors who are in amazing films with like Scorsese or somebody, and they look amazing because they're in an amazing program.
Right,
and
right.
I've always said this. People that go and play for the New England Patriots look better because they're a part of a great system.
Right.
You go and put the same person in another system, he doesn't look as good. That's just how it is. It's the luck of the draw. Sometimes you go with the right in the right place. Now, for Lopez's dad to either co-sign or come up with this idea to come out and try to knock George out in the first round, it's just not going to happen, man. Even against a mediocre fighter, it's really hard to do because these are professional fighters, man. You can't just come out and brawl unless you're Mike Tyson, unless you're somebody who's naturally this way. Theo is not really this guy. You can do it on the come up when you were fighting guys who weren't that experienced.
Yeah, guys who work at Albertsons and bag groceries during the week. Yeah.
Cambosis, like you said, put in over 100 rounds with Manny Pacquiao. And like you said, the fact that he did this is incredible, man. And it shows you that he's a counterpuncher because I guarantee you he wasn't going after Manny Pacquiao.
No.
Pacquiao is the aggressor, so Cambosis must have been the counterpuncher.
He's used to pressure.
Yes, and I guarantee you, you're not a better pressure fighter than Manny Pacquiao. I'm sorry, Theo. I love you, but it's just the truth. And I say all this with the hopes that you take it and know that it's coming from people that love and respect you, and that you take it to the 140 division and really put your skills to use because I feel like you could be great.
The takeover can still happen.
Yeah,
he's got some opponents that I would like to see him fight at 140 before he fights Josh Taylor, if that's the plan.
Oof.
Fight Jose Ramirez,
mm-hmm.
the guy that fought Josh Taylor. Mm-hmm. Fight him. That's a good fight. That's a winnable fight.
That's a winnable fight.
Jose Pedraza, yeah. Fight him. They're winnable. Fighting each other, so fight the winner of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him have a get-back fight before he goes into another big fight. I think there's got to be some changes made, but I think Teo has all the skills to still be great.
Yeah.
Mayweather set this impossible precedent where if somebody loses a fight, now we always want to have that knee-jerk reaction. We always want to have that hot take, like, they're done. Yeah. See? They got exposed. No. Mm-hmm. They're human. They had a bad night at the office. It can still be done. Yeah, you have one loss on your record. So what? So. But it wasn't a blowout. He didn't get exposed. He lost 7-5, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You can say maybe 8-4. Some people had it 6-6.
Yeah.
Still kind of close. Like, he didn't get blown out. We just all underestimated Cambosis, me included.
Absolutely.
I knew he was a real threat. I've said it on here a couple of times, but I didn't expect him to win.
I know.
So... Yeah.
Don't get caught up in your own hype. Keep working hard. Stay humble. Stay motivated. Look at everybody as a threat.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to be.
All right. We got Figueroa versus Stephen Fulton Jr.
Man, I kind of missed this one, so I need you to tell
people. That was a great fight. So, Stephen Fulton Jr. is from Philly. He's a slick fighter. Figueroa is, there's no qualms about what he does. He's going to get in your kitchen. He's going to throw body shots. He's going to try to wear you down with pressure. I thought Fulton was going to beat him pretty handily, but it was a very, very competitive fight. It was a fight where you can make an argument for either pressure,
mm-hmm.
was his pressure effective, and who had the cleaner shots. I thought Stephen Fulton landed the cleaner shots. It was a great fight. I think it was certainly in the running for fight of the year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of two-way action, a lot of clean shots Stephen Fulton was hitting Figueroa with, but... Credit to Figueroa, he takes a hell of a shot, man, because he just kept coming, kept mm-hmm. bringing that pressure. It was a lot of fun to watch. Again, Figueroa came with the bullshit at the end, talking about, I hurt you like 5 times.
How do you know?
He didn't go down. Yes, he backed up, but like, if you're the natural boxer, yes, you're going to back up at times to reset, to get back to using your jab and taking the fight to the center of the ring.
Yep.
That doesn't mean you're hurt.
Mm-mm.
Did he hurt him a couple of times? Probably.
Maybe.
But I didn't see his legs go. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him like shake the cobwebs out. I didn't see him grab one of the ropes to keep himself up.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, do casual fans know what it looks like to land a clean shot? Do they know what it looks like when somebody's smothering their work? I felt like Figueroa a lot of the times was either smothering his work, or when he's throwing the body shots, people don't notice Fulton was dropping his arm down and blocking a lot mm-hmm. of those, mm-hmm. so they weren't clean shots, but you can see Fulton's shots clean as day. He's hitting him with the check hooks on the way in, he's hitting him with uppercuts on the inside to the head and to the body. I thought it was a very close fight. I thought Fulton was the right winner. 7-5 is how mm-hmm. I scored it. I don't know what Figueroa is talking about with the robbery. If you watch the fight, and you really know what you're looking for, it was pretty obvious, I think, that Fulton won. But it was a good fight.
Yeah, I caught, like, the last two rounds, so I really didn't know the story of the fight. But I did see the interview afterwards, and I liked that Fulton was like, let's run it back then.
Yeah.
And Figueroa just kept talking, which I just don't understand. And I get it from a fighter's mentality. You just have this thing of always talking and then wanting to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Run it back. You guys made a good fight. Everybody loves a rematch, especially when it was a well-contested first fight. Do it again.
Yeah.
So, and that's it. That's all.
Yeah,
I
and he was like, well, I'm moving up. Well, then why are you talking about you
exactly
got robbed?
Yeah.
Like,
Peace.
Cool.
Yeah.
See you later. So, that was a cool fight. I would suggest people check it out to see, like, to learn how to judge a fight, because a lot of people like to just go with the narrative of whatever's popular or whatever is trending without knowing what they're looking at. Right. So if you want to learn something about the sport, that's a very good fight to watch.
Right.
You learn a lot about ring generalship. You know, you learn a lot about what a clean punch looks like versus activity that doesn't really isn't really effective all the time. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a cool fight for that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about JoJo versus Devin Haney.
Man, it's funny because before we started the podcast, everybody, I was like, yo, what happened in that fight? Did it get postponed? Did somebody get knocked down? I couldn't remember exactly what happened, but it's all kind of coming back to me now. And it was a really, really fun fight, man.
Yeah,
it was two stylistic differences and how we always say styles make fights, man. Mm-hmm. JoJo, I didn't know too much about him before his like last couple fights, but man, he's just fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The dude is exciting. He brings it. He's not scared. He has some skill to back up his like brawlerness.
Yeah.
And Devin Haney, man, it's weird. I'm liking him less and less as the years go by, and
wow.
I dislike that feeling because I know how skilled he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate the shit talking. Because he doesn't know how to do it right, in my opinion.
Right.
And I hate the fact that he's like scared to take chances in the ring. He's trying to be a little too Mayweather-esque. But we, as we always say, Mayweather fought early on in his career, man. He was a fighter.
I think he's going to have to take those chances when he fights the elite, though.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to have that luxury of like taking your time and resetting and like, I don't know, fighting in your comfort zone when you're fighting a Tank Davis, when you're fighting even a Ryan Garcia, you're not going to have that luxury. Or who else? Shakur Stevenson, if they ever fight. So I think once he fights the elite, even Kambosos, look, Kambosos is not going to allow him to reset and relax. Kambosos is going to be in his ass,
pause,
the whole time. So I think part of the problem is he hasn't fought the elite, and that's no disrespect to JoJo. JoJo's very good.
Absolutely.
There's just not too much that stands out about JoJo to me. He doesn't have elite power. He has good power. He doesn't have elite speed. He has good speed. He's just very, very good, almost like a Sean Porter.
Mm-hmm.
He's just very, very good in a lot of areas, but he's just not elite.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate you're in the same era as like some elite fighters.
Yeah, and on the right night, he could beat some of those elite guys. You know, you just have to have the right night. I was impressed with Devin in that fight. I get what you're saying. Like, you want him to get people out of there. But I do think that these fighters, like him and Shakur, have reached a level where you're fighting people that are so good that you're not going to be able to get them out all the time. You're just going to have to dominate them the way you can dominate them and call it a day. I mean, there is a certain point in boxing where even when you fight the top flight guys, you're not going to be able to knock them out no matter what you can do. And that's why Manny Pacquiao was so special in his prime, because he knocked out people regardless.
Yeah.
But that's very rare. Like, when you look at like the main stars, Canelo, what he's doing is very rare too.
Yeah.
Where they're able to just stop everybody. Terrence Crawford's another one it's very rare for you to have that. That's what makes them special. But I don't think everybody can do that. I don't think everybody can knock out the very good fighters, the elite fighters. Sometimes you're going to have to be fine with the decision and dominating them.
I feel like what I'm looking for out of him, and listen, again, I always say that some people, everybody online has to take everything as Bible. And I'm like, look, this is just my opinion. I don't care what anybody else is saying. In my opinion, when you're supposed to be one of these elite fighters, I think there has to be a moment in a fight where you can tell that he's taking this shit over. And I haven't seen that in Devin.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he survives, he wins the rounds, but there's not that moment of like, whoosh, all right, that's it. This fight's over. He's figured him out. He knows exactly what to do. He gets it.
Mm.
He just hasn't done that yet. I don't need people to knock people out. I don't expect it. I like seeing it. But I feel like he hasn't reached that thing yet. And I feel like it's a lot of his insecurities masked behind what he's trying to portray himself to be as this shit-talking dude that's going to knock everybody out. And it's exposed when he fought Linares, and he's like, but how was the power?
Yeah.
How was the power compared to such and such?
That's true.
And then he asked somebody else during another fight, I don't know if it was JoJo, he's like, but how was this? Hey, how was this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, if you believe it in yourself, why are you asking anybody? I don't ask people if I think I'm good. I know what the fuck I am.
Yeah.
I know if I'm what I'm good and bad at things.
Yeah.
So it's just, there's something there, and I don't know if it's still just youth in him, and that's why I don't want to be too hard. But that's just my opinion. If you want to back up everything that you're talking, have these moments where you like completely start dominating and not just sit around and wait to counter. Like, let's take it to him.
You know, there's a certain vulnerability to Devin, right? A certain fragility.
Yes, yes.
But that, for me, makes him more watchable.
But I wish he would play that up. Like, people like that because it's real.
Yeah, okay.
I see the bullshit with your other, and it's not real.
Yeah, that's true. I was very impressed. I thought when JoJo pushed the action, he didn't run. He stood his ground.
Absolutely.
And he fought him.
Mm-hmm.
Would I like to see the power come about? Yeah, but I think Devin might be one of those guys that's also killing himself to make 135.
Yep.
Like Tao, he's talked about it. Like, I'm struggling to make 135 now. So
big dude.
Yeah, so they both might move up, and they might be better. They might have more power because people forget, like, when you're killing yourself to make weight, you can't train as hard.
You can't eat right.
You can't lift. You can't lift weights because you can't put on muscle.
Yep.
So when you go up a weight class, now you're eating full meals when you train.
Yep.
So now it's giving you energy to train. So now naturally you're better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a move up would actually do both of them good. I think we'll see a little bit more of the killer Devin at 140 because he'll have more energy. He'll have the ability to sit down in shots a little bit more because he's not killing himself and leaving some of himself in the gym.
Yeah, dude, and last thing I'll say about Devin, dude, please stop talking about all the money you have.
And the followers.
And the, come on, it just sounds so bad.
It's so corny.
Like, how are you more famous than me when I got more Instagram followers than you? What?
Oh, he's got more Instagram followers. Oh.
You sound like a child.
Who cares?
Man. And then I don't, they fought on DAZN, right?
Yeah.
God, man, DAZN, is there a plane coming? It's faint. DAZN had this freaking thing before the fight where they just had Devin Haney go through his Instagram posts and talk about why he posted it and what it was. And it was the most awkward thing ever. So Devin Haney was like this, you know, like would show something on
through his phone?
Yeah, and he, like, it was something about, like, let's say he was on a private jet or something. He was like, yeah, here, you know, celebrating my fruits, you know, fruits of the labor, taking my boys. You know, we probably spent about, like, I don't know, like 50K on the trip.
Oh, God.
Oh, here, you know, it was
make
just,
it stop.
Took a picture of such. And I was like, oh, my God, this is the most cringy thing ever. And look, you need more experience and age, but you need to be able to tell these dudes, nah, that's going to make me look bad. Nah, I don't want to do that.
That sounds like when Ryan Garcia was like, and then something spoke to me, and I meditated and manifested a punch.
God.
Like, dude, stop trying to be, like, you're not deep.
You got to be able to say, no, look, I'm in no comparison to them. They're, you know, on a whole nother level. But I was on a red carpet once for a show that I was doing, and they have a lot of, it doesn't take much to get publicity badges and, like, lanyards to be able to go and do stuff. So you do all the regular interviews, and then there was some, like, podcast person there or somebody there who had a little avocado doll like this. And was like, Manny, we do this thing where we have celebrities take, like, a picture with the avocado. And you can make a funny face if you want, or you can do whatever you want. And I was like, oh, no, thank you. And I said it with a smile. And they looked at me as if, like, I was being a jerk. I'm like, oh, no, thank you. And the dude next to me who was on the same show was like, I mean, you got it. Okay. And you could tell he didn't want to do it. That picture's out there forever because he didn't want to seem like the not nice guy. And it's bullshit, man. It's okay. You're not being mean by saying no, and people need to get over that shit. Like, if you ask me something and I'm like, no, thank you, you can't be like, dick. Why am I a dick? Because I didn't want to do what you wanted me to do? So Devin, you need to be able to know when to say, nah, that's a bad idea. That's going to be a bad look on me because they don't give a shit.
Super horny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the people that are making the decisions aren't people in your age bracket. They're not people that are black, most likely, because I'm pretty sure it was probably some old dude that was like, oh, this will be cool. This will get the kids talking. Let's talk about your Instagram post.
I used to work in radio, and they were doing a summer jam thing, and they were going to have Stephen Marley on there. And the owner of the radio station, who was this white lady, said, oh, my, in front of, this was a whole, like, company meeting, said, oh, my God, wouldn't it be great if his dad could come? And everybody looked around like, does this bitch not know Bob Marley's been dead for years? And this is who's running a black radio station. So it goes to show you, they don't give a shit. That's it. Anything else on Devin Haney?
No.
Gervonta Davis and Isaac Cruz. Isaac Cruz.
Wow.
I want to say something really quick.
Please.
Everybody out there who's saying that Isaac won that fight I understand that he put on a great performance. I understand he's a great fighter to watch. I love him. I can't wait to watch any. And he was one of our early picks, man.
We talked about him last November, over a year ago.
I love when it's like finding a new band or a new artist, a new something. Yeah. You're like, I found him first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's really cool to see what he's doing now, and I'm glad that he got the opportunity on a pay-per-view scale for everybody to see what he is and what he can do.
Right.
He didn't win the fight, though, and that's okay. You fought probably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world and did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
It was an amazing fight, man. You did everything that you were supposed to do. I'm so proud. Like, you brought the pressure. You had Tank guessing. You had Tank at the end of the fight when they were like, do you want a rematch? He was like, hell no. And I know, I know Tank said it jokingly. I know he could beat him easily on a second fight if he wanted to. But it's the truth, and that's why I love Tank. But they said Tank did hurt his hand. I think he broke one of his hand or
yeah,
both.
Yeah, he showed it. It was like triple the size as normally, you know, Pornhub. And,
so, so it's very much like Mayweather Castillo, the first one. I know it's an older fighter, but if you never watched it, please go watch it, because the average fan could look at that fight and be like, Mayweather lost, but fighters that know, like, he won on points.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing that happened here, and you know, just you can't hate on Tank. You can't say Isak won just because Tank didn't dominate it. And that's the Mayweather effect again. It's like, oh, but he hung in there with them. That's not winning a fight.
That's the problem. Yes. Like, because an underdog overperforms and overachieves does not mean they automatically win the fight.
Yep.
You can still give them their flowers, but absolutely, be realistic.
Yep.
And that's what you did. And look, Isak Cruz is better than we thought.
Man, he's got skill.
Every time Tank threw that big uppercut, he was like, oh, are you there yet?
Yep.
Putting his glove up to protect his chin. Are you there yet? Putting his glove up to protect his jaw. The defense was on point. Yep. I was very surprised. It was very difficult for Tank to land a clean shot on him.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Tank was bum rushing him, Isak showed me something.
Yeah, man.
I was very proud of him. He's you know, one of our personal favorites from way back. Fucking brick wall with arms and legs, no neck.
Fucking
took
trash.
Hard shots. Now, I'm going to say something that nobody's really brought up, but I think his corner blew it in the 11th and 12th round because they were telling him, oh, you're winning. You're doing a great job. If I'm the corner of an underdog going into the championship rounds, I'm telling him, go out there, blow that load,
go get this,
empty
shit,
that clip, everything you got, go out there and bum rush him. They already knew his hand was hurt. Why did you not press the action more? And I'm not saying he didn't press the action, but I know he could have done more just from watching the after-fight interview. He didn't look particularly tired. Mm-hmm. He didn't look spent. He should have really emptied that clip the 11th and 12th round. He could have at least gotten a draw out of it. So I was very surprised. He kind of took his foot off the gas a little bit for me.
Yeah.
And he saved Tank because Tank couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
He had one hand. He literally did not throw a left hand at all, I don't think, for the last three or four rounds.
Yeah, it was your chance.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of that.
And fighters in there, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Fighters in there, you feel it. You feel when something's wrong with another fighter.
Yeah.
They're too smart not to notice this, man. So, like, the fact that you didn't go just shows how skilled Tank is, that you could fight off a professional monster and win this fight. And I will say, Tank has never really fought anybody shorter than him. So I think he didn't really understand what to do, because his money stuff is all those long, rangy uppercuts, which no other fighter can do like he does.
Right.
So to fight somebody, again, styles make fights. So to fight somebody who's smaller than you, who's aggressive, who has a chin, who has good defense, and has some power, like, it's a risk. So you're fighting this dude, and you didn't really have time to prepare for him. It's a big risk. So I it was a great fight all around. I really respect Isak, man. I think he's a great dude. Oh, and before the fight, they showed, you know, like, they do the pregame or the like, pre-fight thing, 24/7 thing. So they had him with his wife and his kids in Mexico. And his wife just looks like a normal Mexican lady.
Yeah.
Normal, whatever age they are, like, you know, just normal looking. His kids are so, like, cute and adorable. And he's talking about his family, and he's like, you know, they're the reasons I'm able to do what I love to do. And, you know, you're away from your family so long, and, you know, you really start respecting what they do. And, like, tears just start falling. And he's not a Mexican dude that can cry comfortably. So he was, like, trying to fight it. And then wipes his shit off and then keeps talking about how much he loves his wife.
Damn.
And I was like,
so pure, right?
I fucking love you, man.
Yeah,
it's so pure because, again, he doesn't have the model wife with the fucking dress on and the fucking diamonds and the I'm like, you're just a real woman who's supporting your man, who doing what he loves to do. Right. And it's a huge sacrifice, man. That's why, and Terrence Crawford, and we'll get to him later, but Terrence Crawford says something dope on Sean Porter's podcast about, like, I don't want to be boxing forever, man. This shit is hard.
Yeah.
Like, you're away from your family. It's hard on your body. You're in these training camps, and if you're doing it right, you're killing yourself.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
Only to have to resurrect yourself to do it all again the next day.
Yep. And to prove it all to everybody, all the naysayers and the skeptics all over again, and it's bullshit.
Yeah. So my takeaways from this were, like, Isaac Cruz is a future star.
Absolutely.
He's better than we thought. And Tank is a better boxer than we thought.
Yes.
Because he couldn't get him out of there, yes. So he had to box a lot. And he showed me more defense than I was expecting. He showed me more feints than usual. Tank is the complete package. I was very surprised, because that is a situation that could have easily resulted in a loss. And he showed me something different. So I was happy to see that, because I was curious what would happen if Tank doesn't land his money shot.
And that's saying a lot, because we loved it. We think Tank's the shit.
Yeah. So I was very impressed with both guys. It was well worth it. Turned out to be a better fight than I thought. I'm not even going to say that dude's name. But the fight that was originally scheduled instead of Cruz.
Yeah. Does Cruz fight Garcia? Is it going to happen? And what do you think?
I hope so. Please.
Can we please talk? Again, we'll talk about Ryan Garcia briefly, man, because I just don't get it, bro. And this is look, this is legit me coming, staring at the camera, asking you this question. I'm not even going to post this. If you happen to see it, good. But, dude, on the real, how do you back out of two fights claiming mental health issues? You haven't fought in forever. You're doing a lot of YouTube clips. And again, I'm not coming at you, bro. I get it. You're young. It's a different generation. It's a different mindset. But, bro, you talk all this stuff about people who actually are fighting. Any fight that happens, you're like, oh, I would have knocked him out in one. Oh, I would have whooped his ass. Oh, Isaac ain't this. I'm like, bro, you're at home not fighting. And I mean, I know you could blame it on your
hand injury
or whatever.
Yeah.
Mental health. But, like, how can you keep talking shit? It's bad karma, man, and I feel like you're gonna get repaid soon, and it's not gonna be a good look, bro.
And look, man, he's talking about Isaac Cruz is built for him, like he's the perfect. Isaac Cruz can take a punch. I'm sorry, I think Tank hits harder than Ryan. If he thinks he's gonna go out there and blast Isaac Cruz out, he got another thing coming. I'm telling you guys this right now. I ain't a rich man, but I will waddle my ass to that casino and drop a couple hundred bucks on Isaac Cruz if that fight's made. Ryan does not tuck his chin.
Yeah.
I can easily see Isaac Cruz coming in with that crashing left hook and dropping him. So it ain't a given that Ryan's going to win that fight. And if the odds are right, I'll drop even more money.
Yeah, man.
I think he's crazy for wanting that fight after not fighting for a full year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Luke Campbell fight was exactly a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to fight Isaac Cruz after over a year out of the ring?
Mm-hmm.
You're delusional, bro. You're delusional. You're about to get a dose of reality because Isaac is going to be there all night. You're not going to drop him. You're not going to stop him, I don't think.
Only way you win is if you're on that freaking juice.
Yeah.
Like Canelo and everybody else in the Reynoso camp. So, man, I just don't get it.
And again, I second what you said. Like, if you're not fighting, just be quiet. I don't need you to talk about Devin being soft. I don't need you to talk about Tank being overrated.
Go fight them, then.
I don't need you to hear you talk about, oh, Teo, all that talk and no walk is what he posted after Teo lost.
Man.
I don't need you to call out George Kambosos. You haven't earned that shot.
No.
Who have you beaten besides Luke Campbell a year ago?
Nobody.
You haven't beaten anybody. You haven't earned that. Fight Teo. Fight somebody with a pulse, for crying out loud, before you call out Kambosos.
I really would like to see the Teo and him fight, though. That'd be a great fight.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Teo.
Great fight.
Wash him, though.
I think so.
So, real quick, I didn't see the full fight. I saw most of it. Lomachenko fought. He looked like Lomachenko against Richard Comey.
So
I kind of knew that was going to happen. I love Comey, but he's so wide. I don't know what it is about the African fighters. When they throw that overhand right, it comes from way out. Like, Lomachenko at one point hurt Comey, dropped him, and then told his corner to stop the fight while he's punching him.
Oh, yeah. I saw that, which was great.
God.
He was like, you want me to keep going?
The most gangster shit ever. I was so embarrassed for Comey. I was like, that is fucked up.
Dude, you're right about the African boxers. African MMA fighters, killers.
But yeah.
Boxers, I don't know why. Why doesn't it translate?
I don't know.
Not
I mean, they're good. They're good enough to like get to the world class level, but
athletic wise, yes, no.
But they're
doubt.
Just never going to be elite elite because they always seem to rely on like that one shot. This overarching like windmilly power shot.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Walters. I don't think he's African. I think he was Jamaican, but...
But still similar.
Big, good fighter. I mean, he beat Nonito back in the day. We were there for that fight, but when he fought Lomachenko, it was the same thing. He's coming over with these over-the-top shots. Mm-hmm. A skilled fighter's not going to let you do that, especially if you don't set it up. So, the fight kind of went exactly how I thought it would go. Lomachenko looked good. They're talking about making Lomachenko Stevenson next because Bob Arum's a pussy and doesn't want to put Oscar Valdez in there with Stevenson. So they're talking about Lomachenko Stevenson.
Bro, I would love that. It'd be the true test for Shakur.
Yeah.
Like, if this is who you really say you are.
Yeah, I would love it too, but I want him to get Valdez first. I think he's earned that shot. Give him Lomachenko after, I feel like. I mean, what are we hiding Valdez from?
Wait, Shakur and Valdez?
Yeah, they should fight. They should fight, and then the winner fights Lomachenko.
You're right.
Lomachenko hasn't even been fighting at that weight class. He's been fighting at lightweight. Mm-hmm. Why does he get to fight Shakur next? Like,
you're right.
Bob ain't slick, man. He's trying to milk Valdez for whatever money he can get out of him because he knows either Shakur or Lomachenko will beat the brakes off that dude. Yep. And I'm a Valdez fan, but those two are just another level that Valdez is never going to reach to me.
Yeah, and with everything going on with the Reynoso camp, Valdez just like, he took a step down in my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whatever happens to your career is what's going to happen. I don't really care anymore. But yeah, I do want you to fight the best.
Yeah, yeah. So real quick, we'll talk about a couple of prospects. Have you seen Jared Anderson fight?
Remind me, what did he
hoop? Big black heavyweight, knockout artist. He's got a lot of personality. He was an Olympian, I believe. Mm-mm. Yeah, so he's friends with like Michaela and all them. I think they were all on the same team.
No.
He's very entertaining. Big, big puncher. Kind of wild, but he's got a lot of personality. His last fight, he came out dressed like a pimp and was like strolling with the cane to the ring. Okay, cool. He's undefeated. I think he's like 11-0, maybe 10-0. Okay. But he's one to watch out for. But everybody knows the prospect of the year. Nico Ali Walsh is a prospect. Did you see his last fight?
No, I don't want to.
So bad, bro.
Wait, is this Ali's actual grandson or is the dude that looks like Ali?
No, it's Ali's actual grandson. Michelle Rivera is the one that looks like Ali. That's good.
We were talking about her, remember?
Yeah, he's. Oh my god.
He's not really prospect of the year. You're joking, right?
Yeah, I'm joking.
Oh,
are you crazy?
God. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Look, I'm named after like, Muhammad Jesus Ali. Christ. I love Muhammad Ali, but your grandson's trash. Yeah, it just is what it is, bro.
I didn't think he's as bad as you thought he was, but he's horrible. He's not there yet.
There's nothing there that I think will get him to like even very good status. He's not good.
Really quick, can we shout out Kenny Smith Jr. for fighting on Christmas Day?
Kenny Sims.
Sims Jr. fighting on Christmas Day. And it's just a fucking monster, man. He's like really,
really good.
Really skilled and really talented. And I feel like it's growing, which is always great to see in fighters. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about what he does. And is he in welter or light? Where is he at?
I think he's at 140. I think he fought at welter to that fight because his original opponent pulled out.
Yeah.
The new guy couldn't make 140, so they fought at welter, I think.
Bro, like so much skill, and I just like anybody that fights on either Christmas or New Year's Day or like major holidays, I get the utmost respect for it because you can't eat the way you want to eat on these holidays.
Yeah.
You can't drink with your people the way you want to drink.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of skill and like discipline to do that. So like much respect to you, man.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And not much else to say about Nico Ali Walsh. I just wanted to slip that in because a lot of people are so sick of him, man. Like, come on, y'all. ESPN, we know. It's Ali's grandson. Why do you have to tell us 50 times? We're not, like, God. And he lost that fight. I'm sorry.
Hype train.
He maybe got a draw if he was lucky. They gave him a win because it's Ali's grandson. Mm-hmm. He did not look good. Get him off my TV. Yep. Enough already. We're done.
Holyfield's son fought that same night and like
looked like... Oh, no. This was more recent. This was like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That fight, I thought he won. He still looked like crap. But this other fight, he looked worse.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, enough, dude. Enough. Our boy Xander Zayas got another knockout. Looked great doing it. I'm so excited for him.
So dope.
Great smile. Great charisma. Yep. Extremely great skills. Yep. Very humble. He's going to be one to watch out for. Xander Zayas. Another guy, I don't know if you've heard of him, Frank Martin. He fought last night on the undercard of the Charles Martin Ortiz fight.
We skipped that one because the fight before that was so bad. The one that's under the Reynoso camp, right?
No. He's a PBC fighter. Errol Spence is friends with him. He talked about him. Black dude, very, very muscular.
Wait, what's his name?
Frank Martin.
The one who lost last night?
No, he won. You're talking about Frank Sanchez. The one that looks like he's like...
No, Martin. Wait, who is the main
Charles event? Charles Martin is the main event.
Gotcha, okay.
No, Frank Martin is good, man. Y'all got to watch out for him. He's at 135.
Oh,
another
shit.
135-er. Look him up when you get off. Frank Martin. Frank Martin is coming up, y'all. Like, that's a name to watch out for. Xander Zayas, Frank Martin, and Keyshawn Davis. Keyshawn Davis is a guy that is Shakur's buddy that was an Olympian that got silver medal.
Yes.
He's back to pro now. He's going to be good as well. He fought. So those are some names to watch out for. And our boy Raymond Ford. Shout out to Ray Ford.
Yep.
He showed a lot of improvement.
Yep.
He fought a tough Hispanic fighter that was kind of trying to bully him on the inside. Mm-hmm. You could tell Ray has been working on his strength.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of like holding, shoulder him off, throw some hard shots to the body, hard shots to the head, and got him out of there. Raymond Ford, look out for him. For some reason, Robert Garcia was trashing him, which was the weirdest thing ever. I don't know. I don't know what was going on. I don't know. Maybe he brought him into sparring and he beat up some of his own guy or something.
It was weird.
There's got to be something going on with that. But I want you to talk about the Nonito card that you went to.
Oh, man. Before I even talk about the fight, can I please shout out the Nonair?
You ain't got to ask permission. Do it.
Nonair. I said the Nonairs, the Donairs. Yo, man. So the fight was here in Carson. We still call it the StubHub Center, even though technically it's Dignity. Dignity Health Sports Park.
Dumbest name ever.
It's such a great place to be at for a fight, guys. And it was a cold, cold night. It was me, my beautiful wife, my average-looking brother, Mark.
Damn.
I'm just kidding. My beautiful brother,
so
Mark.
So unnecessary.
And my other little brother outside of actual blood, Anselm Ume, who I've known since he was 12 years old. And it was his first professional fight. He's not even into boxing, but he was sitting there in awe like this, just watching this shit happening. Because when you go to a live fight, and you know this, man, it's weird to see a sanctioned street fight.
That's how I got you hooked.
Bro, and then when you hear the freaking, it's so crazy. So shout out to
clapping them cheeks.
So shout out to the Donairs for the tickets, man, because they hooked us up. We were sitting in front, like, four rows back. We were able to see them and talk to them for a little bit. Such generous, giving people, warm, loving. And the fact that they kick ass in the ring is just, I love that duality, man, where you could be an amazing, humble person outside and then a monster inside. So that fight was incredible because you're starting to see the evolution of Nonito being the, like, all power, 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 just amazing, like the Filipino Flash, to this counter but still aggressive fighter. That's really, really cool to watch, man, because you rarely see it. You usually see fighters in, like, as they start aging, just decline, and they still rely on their speed and power, and they start falling off. Nonito, on the other hand, is like, I still got my speed, I still got my power, but let me be a little smarter. Let me go the Mayweather route.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fucking cool to see. I felt like the fight was pretty, not challenging for him, but it was a little harder than he expected. The dude was tough. And Nonito said this beforehand. Nonito was like, look, he's a tough kid, but I'm going to get him out of there.
And he's skilled.
Skilled as fuck. And what was dope about it is that the other guy, it was like said that Nonito was his idol. And, you know, he like...
Nonito's such a nice guy. He translated for him at the press conference.
Looked up to him, everything. Mm-hmm. He figured him out within that fourth round, right? Fourth, fifth round?
Yeah.
Caught him with this nasty body shot, and it was dope as hell because Mark caught it perfectly on camera, right there in the stomach, like right here where, like, if you get caught right there, any boxer that knows that
your
you're done,
body shuts down,
done. And the kid tried to get up, it just wasn't happening. So I mean, that was the base of the fight,
right?
What'd you think?
I thought it was vintage Nonito's such a strange case, because as a Nonito fan after the Carl Frampton fight, probably like 5 years ago now, I kind of wanted him to retire. I didn't want to see him take any unnecessary... Carl Frampton, he fought him like 5 years ago. Maybe
Frampton
6 years.
Was at that weight?
Yeah, because Nonito was fighting higher up in weight.
Oh, damn.
I wanted him to retire, but instead of retiring, Nonito went down two weight classes at an advanced age and gained something.
Mm-hmm.
This is the craziest thing ever. Usually when somebody starts to age as a fighter, they either go up in weight because it's easier. They don't have to worry about dieting as much. They can just train. They'll have more energy. Nonito went down in weight. He's fighting guys that are faster because you're down in weight. And he's killing them. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like this.
Unheard of.
He was already a Hall of Famer. He's really a Hall of Famer now. We're talking about all-time greats now with the stuff he's doing.
Yeah, man.
If he beats Inoue, put him up there. He might be up there.
How many champions has he beaten?
A lot.
Like, it's crazy. Nobody talks about Nonito.
It's ridiculous what mm-hmm. he's been able to accomplish. It's never been done before. I can't think of anybody at that age that has gone down several weight classes and is now a killer all over again. Yeah, it's insane. I would love to pick his brain to see what he did, what the mindset was, what switch flipped for him to think, I'm going to drop two weight classes, I'm going to train myself along with my wife, and I'm going to reinvent myself as this nasty counterpunching killer. He was already a great counterpuncher mm-hmm. before, but man.
Yeah, and on the other side of the business, Rachel is changing the game when it comes to like managers and trainers. She's really smart with him. She has a stable of fighters, and like they seem to be doing things the right way, and the evolved way, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool to watch, man. It's cool to hear the stories from Rachel's, and I never want to share them on here. I'll tell you guys outside of this, but like I never really want to share them online. There's just really cool stories about how men just still look at her as if she doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about, and she proves it over and over and over again that you need to evolve and adapt in order to stay relevant in this game, and she's doing it. So, like, much respect. Oh, bro, can I see that shirt? And, like, they do amazing things like this. They partnered up with Shoe Palace, and they had these shirts, which, like, they hooked us up with. So, Shoe Palace, and then it has Nonito right there. I can't even tell who he's fighting. But it's just dope. And, like,
Jorge Arce, but I could be wrong.
He's doing amazing things. So, shout out to them, and, like, congratulations on the win, and it was cold as hell that night, bro. So, and he was the main event, so it just got colder and colder.
Yeah.
So to see what he did right there was just amazing.
And I love about Rachel too is she's not gonna cower down to anybody. She's very direct.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of you. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like it, love it. I don't give a fuck. Yep. This is what it is.
Yep.
Big ups.
It's very rare.
Brandon Lee. Talk about him.
Brandon Lee fought on the undercard, and I had no idea he was fighting on the undercard. So when I heard his name come out, we all were like, oh shit. And then to come out, bro, and like, you know, he's been knocking people out in the first or second round in all mm-hmm. of his fights. 20-something?
Yeah, I think he's 24-0 with 23, something crazy like
something
that.
Something insane. And, I know you said that you had told me this, but I had no idea he was half Asian and half Mexican, which mm-hmm. made me love him even more.
California kid, he's from the valley, the Rancho area, Rancho Cucamonga, I think.
No, I think it's in Coachella Valley, because he always talks about Coachella.
Yeah. Okay, you're right, yeah.
So, like, that mix is rare, which is stupid, because it should happen more often. The way our cultures are, it's weird. We're similar, but we're very different. Anyway, it was cool to see him come out. I feel like he was trying to get the dude out of there in that first or second round,
yep.
and it wasn't really happening. He was catching him with a lot, but Brandon did get caught with maybe a couple things, not too hard, but, you know, did get caught.
Right.
And it made him switch something up in him, and it was cool to see this power puncher start boxing and start being smart. And he even said it in the post fight that his dad wasn't too impressed with his performance, that he wanted him to get him out there a lot sooner. But, you know, it's just not going to happen against a really tough veteran.
Right.
I forget the guy's name, who he was fighting. And mm-hmm. I feel like he showed another level. And I think it's invaluable experience. I think he's going to take this to his next fight, and it's going to be better for him. Everything happens for a reason, bro. You didn't need to knock him out in that second round, and I'm glad it didn't happen, because it took you some time. And when it did happen, it was fucking glorious. So it was great, man.
Everybody needs that experience of, like, I'm used to blasting people out.
Yep.
Now it doesn't happen. What do I do next? Because that shows you another layer of their game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought exactly what you said. It was good to see him. Okay, let me box and set some stuff up.
Yep.
Which is what I wanted Teo to do when he wasn't able to knock out Kambosos. Okay, let me get behind this jab. Let me throw some feints out there. Mm-hmm. Let me set some traps instead of just going in there like a spider monkey. Like,
right,
argh!
Right.
So I'm very impressed with Brandon Lee. I think he's got a bright future. He's at 140. Yeah, so it shows another layer. He's at 140, which is a stacked division. And you got to assume he's going to go up to welter, which is always the money division.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, man. I want to see what happens when he gets stunned. I think that's always a big test as well. Like,
you feel like he's got a chin.
Yeah, I want to see like what happens if somebody cracks him really good, how he responds. But he's got all the offensive tools that I like to see. Throws that jab to the body that I think is such an underrated punch.
Yeah.
It flattens the tires. I always say it. That jab to the body gradually flattens the tires, takes away your opponent's power.
Got to reset.
It's an important thing to have in your arsenal if you're going to be elite.
Yep.
So he has that down. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got next.
Marketable as hell, man. If you get the Asian and the Mexicans behind you.
Yeah, man. That's a whole new demographic.
And, oh, can I shout out his people who were sitting behind us? And it was a lot of people, like, with the Brandon Lee shirts, and they were sitting behind us, and super kind and very just boxing fans, but also just real people. So After the fight, some of his fans had come and like tried to, you know, say what's up to him, like on the side of his, on his ringside. And they had a little girl with them. I don't know. She was like 8 years old, and she was, I don't know if she was just looking our direction or staring at us. And I was like, "Hi," and I was like, "Congratulations to your friend." And then that person's mom turned around and was like, "Okay, well, since you talked to my daughter, now I could ask you." And then she asked for a picture. And I was like, "Absolutely, yeah, yeah." And I was talking to her. And I was like, "So you, are you guys related to Brandon?" And they were like, "Well, my, I think she said my brother-in-law or father-in-law is his trainer." And so I was just like, "Much respect. Please send him our love." And they asked a couple times if we wanted to come and like say what's up. Because Brandon, being the people's champ that he is, after his fight came down all the steps, went everywhere to take pictures with everyone, said That's hi, showed respect. And they were like, "Do you want to?" I was like, "Nah, nah, I want to let him have his moment." And then afterwards, you know, on IG, I hit him up and told him how big of a fans we are. And I wish him so much success in, with his family and health and boxing. And like a gentleman that he is, you know, told us, like, "Thank you so much for the love and the appreciation." So shout out to Brandon, man. Dope. And super marketable. I can't wait to see what happens with his career.
Speaking of marketable, we got to talk about Super Bad.
Tell it.
Everybody knows I'm a super simp. No secret. That's my girl, man. She came with the heat, boy. She knocked out another one, man. That left hook from hell landed it, I think, in the second round or third round, and then landed it again and stopped the girl in like the fifth round. Sunisa Superbad is on the way up. We've been saying it the whole time we've been doing this podcast. I love to watch her fight, man. It's very rare that you see somebody throw power shot after power shot after power shot and not get tired. Mm-hmm. That fight, she was on the entire time. She looked a lot better than she looked the fight before. I think the fight before, there was a little pressure because she was in front of the home fans.
Yeah.
Tried to come out a little too fast, and yeah. I think she still won the fight, clearly. But this fight, she looked a little more settled. She looked a little more sure-footed. And, man, she blasted that girl with a hard left hook where the girl fell like Michael B. Jordan and Creed. Like, her legs went up. And the referee was like, "Nah, bro, we didn't see enough. That's enough, dog." So Sunisa is looking great again. They're talking about having her match up with Marlon Esparza. Hmm. Marlon Esparza fought the girl Sunisa fought. Remember Ortiz?
Yes.
Marlon Esparza fought her.
Okay.
Marlon Esparza looked pretty good. I think that she hasn't improved as much as Sunisa has improved.
Yeah.
So I think the rematch is going to be more of the same. Sunisa won the first fight with her. Marlon Esparza is a natural, like, catch-and-shoot counterpuncher.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Sunisa is going to bring the aggression. So yeah. It's going to be a great fight. It's two marketable women. They're both attractive. They're both charismatic. You got the whole California Latina versus the Texas Latina. It's a good rivalry. Like they legit don't like each other. So I can't wait for part two of that. That's all I wanted to say. I'm looking forward to that fight. I got to shout her out. That KO was nice.
Since we're on women's boxing, really quick, can we talk about Michaela Mayers?
Yeah.
She has shit talking down to a really cool science, man. And she, I've never seen anybody that would do it, because she'll make fun of herself and talk shit, and like she'll pay attention to what the other fighter is saying, and it's really clever.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
You want to share some of like her?
So her and Alicia Bumgarner have been going at it. Alicia Bumgarner, for people that aren't familiar, Michaela Mayer was trying to win all the belts at her weight class. Well, Alicia Bumgarner fought one of the girls that Michaela had her in her sights to win a belt. Alicia Bumgarner, we had talked about her being a big puncher, stopped that girl, knocked her out. Michaela said, "Okay, you won, call me out. Say my name, bitch."
That was
whatever exact quotes. The girl refused to acknowledge her. So right. Michaela, every time she was posting, was like, "What's up? Let's fight."
Mm-hmm.
And so finally the girl was like, "Bitch, I'll dog walk you."
Oh! So,
then Michaela was like, called her a "see you next Tuesday," which anybody who "see you next Tuesday." So they started going at it. Then Alicia Bumgarner was like, "You're always in my mentions. Like, are you pressed? Like, stop talking about me." And Michaela Mayer was like, "I'm trying to sell the fight, you dumbass." So they just have been going at it. Alicia Bumgarner is now trying to make it into like this racial thing, which,
come on.
She's hinting at it. She's trying to be subliminal. She was like, "I'm not going to lose to some spoon-fed girl from California." Like, first of all, you don't know her upbringing. Like, were you there when she was growing up?
Right.
There's poor white people. There's poor Hispanics. Absolutely. Everybody can grow up poor. Like, just because she's blonde hair and modeled some doesn't mean she was spoon-fed. Yeah. Like, so I thought that was weird and unnecessary. Like, you don't have to build up the fight that way. But Michaela just, at every turn, has been on it with her. And so that fight is building. I cannot wait. Both attractive, charismatic girls again.
I'll dog walk you.
Yeah, I'll dog walk you. Alicia Bumgardner has heavy, heavy hands. Michaela has the activity with the combinations and the speed. I cannot wait for that fight. It's such a marketable, easy fight to make. There's so many rivalries inside of that. Bumgardner, I think, is from Michigan, I want to say. I could be wrong, but I know she's East Coast. Michaela's a Cali girl. Yeah, I mean, I don't really like the race stuff, but white versus black. I mean, it's marketable in every way you can think.
Yep.
It's a unification fight. I cannot wait. They're both trash talking the shit out of each other. And look, man, Michaela, we've said it before, she ain't no slouch, man.
She comes to fight.
And she ain't scared of you because you're a black girl.
Yeah.
Her trainer's black. Her boyfriend's black. Her friends are black.
Yep.
She ain't scared of no black people, bro. So if you think that's going to spook her, I mean, good luck. Yeah. Like, she's fought black girls before.
Yeah.
Now, does Bumgardner have a chance of beating her? Sure. When you get punched that heavy, there's always a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Michaela has the better skill set. I do think her activity is a problem. Michaela doesn't get tired, man.
It's weird. Why doesn't she get tired?
I don't know.
She throws all around.
That Hamadouche fight, she never got tired.
Hamadouche.
I got tired. Hamadouche. Like, you're a douche. She never got tired. I'm like, okay, at some point we're going to see her gasping for air. There's no way she can keep that pace up. But she was like, nigga, shut up. I got this. Raise up another level the next round. I'm like, what the fuck? So I cannot wait for that fight. I think it's going to do wonders for women's boxing. If they give it the platform it deserves, I cannot wait.
It keeps going up little by little. And like,
this is
going
to be the boom year for
Come on.
Sunisa Esparza, Bumgardner, Mayer. Then we got, leads us right into Amanda Serrano.
Yes.
Who fought on the undercard of the Jake Paul fight. Amanda Serrano is a Terminator, man.
Yeah.
She is scary, bro. Yeah. The way she goes to that body, the way she refuses to take a step back, you hit her, it doesn't matter. Like, next to Clarissa, she might be the best women's fighter in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can make an argument for Sunisa. You know I ain't going to argue that. Or Michaela, I mean, you know I ain't going to argue that either. Mm-hmm. But Amanda Serrano is just built different, and I hate that term, but it's the truth, bro.
There's some young girls on the follow this girl. What was her name? Something Rodriguez. She's on like the women's Olympic team right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'll catch little clips that she'll post about like the other women on the team.
Yeah.
Man, there's some skillful young women coming up right now, and it's just cool. It's so cool to see. And we always say this: the young women that aren't running away from sexuality and aren't running away and trying to hide their beauty because they're supposed to be like tough fighters. It's so good for the sport, man. And it makes me very excited. And it makes me very happy that, like, we started this podcast on that level of, like, we just want to pump up women's boxing because it's really fun.
And look, man, these women are so attractive. And I hate the fact that people are like, oh, they're going to get hit and ruin their pretty face.
What?
They're 11s anyway, so they can drop down to a 9. They'll be fine. Like, they're making money, bro. Relax. So they're talking about Jake Paul. Look, man.
Hey.
I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stand the cringiness of him.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's putting in the time and the effort to promote Amanda Serrano, he's made her a millionaire now.
Yep.
He's talking about matching her with Katie Taylor at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's going to take time off to promote that fight and make it as big as possible. Amanda Serrano has talked about how she can't go out now without people recognizing her.
Yay.
He has done wonders for her. Give it up for Jake Paul. And the fact that he's an advocate for these UFC fighters getting paid, I have to respect it and I have to applaud him. As far as his fight goes, that shit was trash. The Woodley fight was hot booty cheeks, but the knockout was pretty damn funny. That was a brutal knockout.
Bro, do you still not think it's a setup?
No, that was a legit shot to me. But if you watch the whole fight, he was setting that up the whole fight. The jab to the body, he was getting Woodley to reach his arm out when the jab was coming. And then he did it again, and he came over the top with the right hand. I don't think it was a setup. I personally don't. If you watch the whole fight, he was setting up for that shot the whole time. You can think what you want, but I know what I saw, and I don't think it was a setup. Honestly, I don't care, though. I don't really.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch Jake Paul. I don't have any interest in his boxing career, really. Until he fights an actual boxer, then I might tune in, even then.
Yeah.
He ain't going to fight anybody good, so I don't really care.
I'll always catch just the highlights. I'm not wasting my time watching these things and the ring walkouts and hear them talking. I don't like care anymore, but I do think it's a setup, man. And if you watch, I know, have you seen the YouTube clips of like him like giving the little telltale?
But I thought it was weak.
But not even that.
I thought you were shaking your hand all the time.
Yeah, true. But like I thought it was in this one. But even the way he hit him like this, bro. And I know fighters can knock people out like this. If you really see it, it was a shot like this. And the way he went down was just seemed rehearsed and practiced. And
you fall on your face like that, though.
Bro, Michael B did it. I mean, in Creed, like you can do it.
But he fell on his side. Like, Woodley hit his face on the ground. Like,
I don't know what that mat felt like. It's
okay.
A show.
I mean,
and like
it's
the fact that every MMA fighter that he fights like this is going down this way, I just feel like it's all a little.
But I mean, Woodley almost knocked him out the first fight, so I don't really know why he would do that the second fight.
To sell it.
Why wouldn't he just take the knockout the first time? This was not even supposed to be the original fight.
Because this makes more money. It's more like.
But wouldn't he make more
rematch?
Money if he won the second fight and they did a third one?
No, because then you mean if Woodley won the first fight?
No, if Woodley won this fight, the second fight, so they can do a third one. That's the second time they fought.
But nobody's going to keep watching if Jake loses a fight.
I don't know, though. If it was a competitive fight, then you can always sell the third one, the trilogy.
You know,
this
you don't
is
know
the
what
one
the fuck
that,
you're talking about.
It's fine. Like, I don't care. Again, I don't care either way. I'm more
why,
so talking,
why
about,
talking about it then if you don't care.
I'm trying to move on. If you let me, can
we'll
you shut the fuck up and let me move on?
Oh, we've missed each other, guys. I'm surprised it took us an hour to get here.
I was only saying I only care about Jake Paul because of his effect on women's boxing and getting Amanda Serrano the spotlight and getting these MMA fighters paid. That's the arena that I care about Jake Paul in. I don't really care about his boxing because it's rudimentary at best. Anyway. Let's move on.
Oh,
Mario
thank
Barrios
thank
versus
God.
Keith.
Yay.
Can you shut the fuck up and get back on track? Can we do that now? Are we done?
So I want to bring up Mario Barrios and
no, you
and
don't
Keith
want to bring
Thurman,
it up.
Guys.
I just brought it up.
I'm a little worried about this fight, to be honest.
For Mario or for Keith?
Both.
Yeah, that's what makes a great
both,
fight,
and that's
right?
What makes it a great fight. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's promoting this, but it's really good because
PBC.
That explains everything. So PBC just knows how to promote a good fight and to get fighters right where they need to be, because Mario is at this place in his career where he could come back up from what he was doing, or he could keep going back down after the Tank fight. I think he has the skill to beat Keith, but he's moving up in weight to fight him, correct?
Right.
Keith is on his way out, kind of because of all the injuries, and you know, he's getting older, he hasn't fought a lot, the last couple fights he didn't look that great. So now, like, they're both meeting at a place where they really need this shit to happen for both of them.
Perfect interception, right?
And if
or
it doesn't,
or whatever.
Yeah, if it doesn't happen, I'm sorry for what the other fighter might have to go through to climb his way back out. Who wins this fight?
Fuck, I don't know. I don't know. Because Keith has been out so long, I don't
know
what we're going to see.
I know.
I think it's going to help Mario to move up. Now he can eat a little more pozole. He can relax a little bit and worry about training. He doesn't have to worry about, like, every little calorie.
Yeah.
That'll help, but you're fighting a guy that was the elite of the elite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people forget how good Keith Thurman was
yes.
in his prime.
Yes.
Those fights against Sean Porter and Danny Garcia
yes.
were all-time performances
yes.
because those guys were both at the peak of their powers, and Keith
throwing from round one.
Sean Porter said, like, after that fight, that was the most tired he's ever been mm-hmm. because it was a hell
mm-hmm.
of a fight. And that's a guy who fought Spence, who fought Ugas, who
yeah.
fought Crawford. So that tells you how good Keith Thurman was. How much does he have left in the tank? I don't know.
Yeah.
He got married. He had a kid. He's had time off to heal injuries. Will that help him? Will that hinder him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is Mario Barrios going to carry power up to welterweight? Is he going to be able to hang with the elite? His only fight against the elite, he got stopped.
Yep.
He looked good.
Yep.
He fought a great fight. It was a valiant effort, but he got stopped.
Yep.
So it's the perfect intersection of a crossroads is the word I was actually looking for. It's a crossroads fight for both. Is Mario, like you said, going to be on the uptick, or is he going to continue on the little downtick?
Mm-hmm.
Is Keith one-time Thurman still one-time, or is he no-time and he's
right.
done? We're going to find out, and I can't wait. Also, they announced Leo Santa Cruz is coming back.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that. I want to see how Leo looks.
Who's
I love Leo. I don't know, actually.
Okay.
I didn't recognize the name.
Good tune-up fight.
Yeah, I prefer I don't know the name because
yeah.
I don't want him
same.
To just get thrown right back into the fire.
Yeah,
that knockout was tough. I want to see where he's at mentally. I want to see how his punch resistance looks, because sometimes you get knocked out like that, like Roy Jones, and
yep.
your punch resistance is shot.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. The only other newsworthy thing is looks like Spence is going to fight Ugas next.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody online is complaining about that. To that, I say shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's a unification fight.
Mm-hmm.
Ugas just beat Manny Pacquiao,
mm-hmm.
who Spence is supposed to fight.
Clearly beat him.
I don't want Spence to come back and fight Crawford right away. Dude has been out of the ring a long time. Let him fight Ugas, which is an easier matchup, and then we'll see what we have. Mm-hmm. If he looks good, then let's do it. Crawford versus Spence. Yep. I don't understand where the complaints come from. I feel like people shape stuff to like formulate their own narrative, because I feel like if Crawford was going to fight Ugas, people would be like, hell yeah, let's do it. Right. But like now that Spence is doing it, it's like, no, he's running from Crawford. It's like, no, he's not. This is going to build it. Good. This builds it even further. You beat the guy that beat Manny Pacquiao. Now you're the undisputed champ. The only other person that can lay claim to that is available. Ugas has a belt. If Crawford and Spence fought right now, they wouldn't be undisputed champ. Mm-hmm. You unify with Ugas, and then you fight Crawford. Now it's for everything. Mm-hmm. All the marbles. You can put that undisputed tagline to the fight, and it makes more money. Mm-hmm. I love the matchup. I think Spence will win. I don't think it'll be easy. I think Ugas is still being slept on. I don't know what people are waiting for. He gave Porter hell. Yeah. He beat the shit out of Pacquiao. Maybe not beat the shit out of him.
Countered him.
But he clearly won. So I don't know what more people need to see out of Ugas to know the dude's the real deal.
Yeah, man. I have no disagreement with everything you just said. Like, I completely agree. He's good. He was at the fight last night watching. And, I mean, he just looks in shape. He's a great counterpuncher. I wonder how that fight's going to go, because I don't know who's going to press the action. I don't know if Arrow's going to just try to walk him down or just try to counter him. I think it's going to go into deep water. I think Arrow wins, but I just don't put anything past Ugas, man.
I think the thing that will keep Arrow safe in that fight is Ugas isn't a big power guy, and so I think Arrow's going to work behind his jab comfortably. Mm-hmm. And win the fight based off his jab. I think he's just going to box him. I don't think he'll slug him. I think it'll be boxing punching. I don't think he's going to go out there and brawl with him, because he doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. And Ugas really isn't a brawler unless you try to make it that. So I think Errol will just work off the ring rust and get the win. Do I think it's going to be fight of the year, the most entertaining fight? No, I think it'll be a technical fight where Spence will probably win 7 to 8 rounds.
Yeah.
And then it'll set up the Crawford fight perfectly. I don't know who Crawford's going to fight in the interim.
Yeah. Because
Virgil has a fight coming up against somebody who's undefeated that I've never heard of, which scares me, because if we learned anything from boxing this year, it's been the year of the upset. Mm-hmm. You know, the Kambosos fight, a lot of people thought the Usyk fight was an upset. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about Usyk this whole podcast since we started this thing. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of other upsets that we didn't see coming, so I worry that Virgil doesn't have an... Oh, Sander Martin beating Mikey Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
To me, is the upset of the year. People were saying Kambosos, but I'm like, you just didn't know Kambosos. Mm-hmm. We knew. Mm-hmm. But Sander Martin, nobody knew Sander Martin. Let's be real. Nobody thought he would beat Mikey,
right,
who only lost to Spence. But, so I don't know what Crawford does. I don't know if he waits it out.
Are him and Josh Taylor talking about fighting?
Josh Taylor has a fight coming up against a guy named Jack Cantrell in Scotland.
Okay.
So I don't think so.
We'll see how it plays out.
And plus,
out.
He's not with Top Rank anymore. He's going to have to fight Josh Taylor. Right. Like, he has no obligation to do it.
Right.
You know he ain't working with Bob no more. He said, fuck that.
Right.
So, all right. So,
let's see what happens.
We're going to wrap it up, guys. As far as, I guess it's the year end, so we can talk about real quick, like, KO of the year. Do you have a pick for that?
I haven't thought it thoroughly out, but what first came to mind was Tank on
Barrios.
We just talked about him.
Oh, Leo, but that wasn't this. That wasn't this year. That was a Halloween of 2020.
Jesus Christ, man, COVID.
Yeah, I would say Fury Wilder 3, Anthony Durrell uppercutting that Mexican dude. I don't remember the guy's name.
Why you gotta say Mexican like that, man?
Because I'm trying to. I was
really
hoping,
hard, bro.
Can you let me finish what I was gonna say? I was hoping that would jog your memory. So I know he was Mexican.
No, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, that one was good.
What else? What am I blaming?
Valdez Burchell was nasty.
That might be it.
Yeah, that was nasty, bro. Last night, that knockout was pretty gross, too.
Yeah.
Where he froze Martin in place.
Oh, he, like, legit was, like, going to his corner, and we didn't catch him.
He was, like, talking to somebody in the third row.
Yeah, he was like, hey,
you'll pass me the match. I was like, what? It's like, holy shit.
And
hell,
like,
stop it. He doesn't know where he is.
Fuck that ref. And me and Mark, we're talking
about
it. Like, that piece of shit ref should have stopped it right then and there. Let it keep going. The dude's glove was in the ring. Like, I just don't understand what you're doing. And then you let it keep going, and then you stop it when it was just weird.
And that happened at the beginning of the round.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta stop it.
He had 2 minutes left.
I've never seen somebody get hit so hard they start holding a conversation with the audience. He legit was like, hey, man, them nachos look good as hell. Pass them up here, man. Oh, shit. Ah, stop hitting me.
And then did you see Martin come over and, like, try to talk to him? And, like, Luis had to push him off? Because I don't know if Martin kept trying to, like, say, let's keep going or something. Ortiz pushed him off.
Like, dude, I don't want to kill you.
Yeah, like, I don't think you know where you're at. Finally, Martin got his bearings and came over and they talked like gentlemen. Really quick side note, man. I hate, it hurts my heart so much when they pan to the family of fighters.
Yeah, don't show.
They were looking at Ortiz's beautiful little daughters and they were crying and like so scared about their father maybe going through a tough fight, and it broke my heart. And these camera people eat that shit up. I get you have to sell a fight and sell the story of the fight, but man, it wrecks me every time, bro.
I'm going to ask you this. I know we're about to get out of here. Yeah. Do you think Ortiz should retire?
Yeah.
He looked a little shot like, worn, didn't he?
40?
I mean, look, let's be real. I'm not trying to be racist towards Cubans, but for all we know, he could be 57 years old. You know them Cubans in them ages, boy.
He could be 20, and we don't know. Did you see somebody? I don't know if this is true. I told Mark this. Somebody posted a picture saying Luis Ortiz at 5 years old, and it looked like a 5-year-old, like 30-year-old, if that makes any sense. And I'm like, is this really Ortiz? Because it looks like him, and he just has that face, bro. I think he should. I think... The announcers were saying it during the fight, too. I felt like we were seeing him getting old right in front of our eyes. His reflexes weren't there. His defense wasn't there. He was just reacting a little late. Mm-hmm. Martin was winning that fight, man. Clearly.
He was. He was controlling it with that jab and that straight left.
Scared him a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he should.
I agree. They're talking about making Ortiz versus Andy Ruiz next.
No.
I'm just like, that's a sacrificial lamb fight. I mean, Ortiz can land a big one and put Andy down, but... I mean, Andy, if he's shown anything, is going to keep coming, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you may hurt him like Areola did, but it's hard to stop Andy Ruiz.
Yeah.
Especially in that camp where they're giving him a little extra, you know, giving him that little that little special juice, you know. So, yeah, I agree 100%. I think he should go in and hang it up. My pick for male and female fighter of the year real quick, I would say Canelo probably is the male fighter of the year, just on activity alone. Impressive performances. I knew you were gonna be pissed.
I can't give it to him.
Who you got then?
I just don't think it's fair. I don't know.
Because of the problems in the camp.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I would still give it to Terrence, or I would even maybe give it to Virgil, or like anybody who's just really taking on the challenges, man. I feel like that's who deserves the title. I know Canelo's taking on champions. I just don't think he's really testing himself, man.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it. Yeah, I don't want to discuss Canelo even more than that.
Okay. Yeah. Female fighter of the year, I think you can go Serrano or Superbad.
I think
either one. Superbad beat somebody that hadn't lost in like 10 or 11 years and beat her pretty handily. Amanda Serrano, and also she became a champion at a different weight class, which is unheard of to go down in weight like that and still be fine.
And I think what Sinisa does as a complete person, you know, fighting inside, the way she promotes, the way she markets, doing the analyst stuff when she's not fighting, I think like that should be incorporated in Fighter of the Year. Like, you're becoming the people's champ. And
you're
better
than the sport as a whole.
Well said.
But yeah, Amanda's obviously getting more notoriety because of Jake Paul. So, guys... It's been great to be back.
It's been really nice, guys, man. I hope you guys see why I rather do these in person than online. It's just a feel. It's just a thing. We do this whenever we talk about fights anyway, so it feels more real to it. But I hope we can get it done virtually. Thank everybody for sticking with us and staying true. We appreciate it. And I don't know when you're going to be back in town. But
I'll do everything I can to have a better setup. We'll give it a run on that. I know people online, I haven't heard any complaints from their ends. It's just our thing that we just don't feel like the quality is the same when you do that. But we'll try it out, see if it works for y'all, see if you enjoy it. I'll try to make the backgrounds better. We'll do a little extra, get a better light. You know, I think if we do those things, it'll still be fine. I don't want to do it once in a blue moon. Like, I want to keep people going.
Yeah.
There will be a little bit of a break because the beginning of the year in boxing is really slow. I think the first major fight is February 5th. That's the Thurman Barrios fight. I'm not saying we won't do one before then. Maybe we'll do a big Q&A episode because hopefully I'll have my place before that big fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do a Q&A episode. And then, you know, once Corona kind of settles down, I'll start traveling more. But right now, I mean, it's a little scary.
Yeah. But... It was fun today.
Yes, it was.
It was fun today. So thanks for coming out and doing it. Thanks for taking the time to listen. Mark, thanks for taking the time to set this up and getting it done for us, man. We are at Put 'em Up Duh.
PUTEMUPDEUX.
And you know what they say in Canada? Peace out!
Sinisa, good punching out there. This is a left hook from hell.
Aye.
Good punching.
Keep it in
out
your
there.
Pants. Jesus Christ.